How's everybody doing?
Good.
Amazing worship, huh?
Yeah.
Absolutely awesome. Today I'm going to talk to you. The Lord gave me a word over the weekend and even throughout today. And Penny's worship music. On the way to service this morning, another pastor from another church is preaching on what I feel the Lord has got for his body. And it's entitled, How to Outlast Your Storm. I want to read something from C.S. Lewis that I read through last week. I really like his, or not C.S. Lewis, Oswald Chambers.
Mm-hmm.
That's who it was. It says, no matter what revelations God has made to you, there will be desolation. So far as the physical apprehension of things is concerned, God gives you revelation that He will provide. Then He provides nothing, and you begin to realize that there is a famine. Of food, of clothes, or money. And your common sense says, abandon your faith in God. Do it at your peril. Watch where desolation comes. It comes on the heels of the time of quiet confidence in God. Then thank Him for it. Faith is not a bargain with God. I'll trust you if you give me money. But if not, you don't. We have to trust God whether He sends us money or not, whether He gives us health or not. We must have faith in God, not in His gifts. We must walk before God and be perfect. You and your circumstances, and I and mine. Now, I want to back up a minute. What he's saying is, you be perfect. That is, you know, we mistranslate that. Well, nobody's perfect. What he's actually saying is to set a godly example, to be mature in the things of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a lot of times when these things come, trials come, the tribulations come, if we're off focus, if we're not and tuned in with God, we're running crazy, and people's like, what in the world? You know, you're supposed to be a child of God. You're supposed to be a Christian, as mm-hmm. they say. You're supposed to be a Christian. You know, I like the Christianese word. But he had a couple of questions. I'll save them for then. I wanted to go and I'm going to paraphrase through Genesis, starting in chapter 37, and it starts with Joseph. And Joseph had a dream. And in his dream, he had a dream that him and his brothers was out tying up the barley, the wheat, out in the field. And Joseph's wheat stood up on end in the field, and all of his brothers' wheat bowed down in circle and paid homage to his wheat. Okay? And so when Joseph told his brothers this, you know, it infuriated them. And they was already jealous of Joseph because Joseph was the favorite of Jacob. And so what they wound up selling Joseph as a slave into slavery. And Joseph was 17 years old when he was sold into slavery. I want you to get something. 11 years Joseph was in Potiphar's house after being sold into slavery. Okay? He spent 2 years in prison. Joseph was 30 years old when he was promoted to be second in command in the house of Pharaoh. There was none greater than him once Pharaoh set him in command. The only one greater was Pharaoh. But could you imagine what Joseph was feeling? You know, the Lord had given him this big dream. You know, his brothers were going to bow down. You know, he didn't understand the dream. He didn't get it, I don't think. You know, and him being sown into slavery, he didn't get that either. And then being thrown into prison because he wouldn't lie with this woman, and then she turns and lies and makes all these lies on him. You know, Joseph was just, "Where are you at, Lord?" I could imagine what he was thinking. "Where are you at, Lord, and all this? You gave me these dreams. You gave me this stuff. Where are you?" You know, he's going through the greatest storm he could ever go. Thrown into prison? "Where are you at, Lord?" And it wasn't long. Pharaoh made him second in command. And later on, through that book, if you read, his brothers came because there was a famine in the land. And they all bowed down to Joseph and asked Joseph for food to feed their families because they couldn't survive. God's dream, God's revelation to Joseph had come to pass before his very eyes. But how many years did it take? Mm-hmm. Think about that. How long did it take? 13 years. 13 years he was waiting on this to happen. You know, I could imagine 13 years, and he's going off of one dream. Book of Daniel, we see another story. And it's talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. King Nebuchadnezzar, he made a golden statue and commanded, he made a decree that everyone bow down and worship this statue. When music and the instruments were played, that they would bow down. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were Hebrews. So back then, they were believers in the Lord. They feared the Lord. So you have to understand that time, any other God besides the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they was not going to bow a knee to. They was taught and they were trained. And that's the way they were brought up. That's the way their fathers did it. And the fathers before their fathers did it. We don't bow a knee. We serve the Lord God. And so when they didn't bow their knee, the people went to King Nebuchadnezzar and told him, "Well, you've got three Hebrews that you've put in charge that won't bow their knee when the music's are played." And he was infuriated. And he called them up and he said, "Well, I'll give you one more chance to bow your knee. And if you do not, you're going to be thrown into the fiery furnace." And they simply replied, "Whether the Lord save us or whether he doesn't, we will not bow our knee." And he commanded that the furnace be turned up seven times hotter than it had been before. And commanded that the biggest guys that he had there to bind up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the furnace. Now as they got down there and they went to cast them in, it killed the ones that cast them in. But it talks about in the story that they walked. They was unbound walking around in that furnace. And King Nebuchadnezzar looked up and said, "Did we not throw three into the furnace?" "Yeah, we did." "Well, there's a fourth, and the fourth appears to be the Son of God." And he hollered at them, "Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, come out." And they come out, and everyone marveled at them because the flame had not even cinched their clothes. They didn't even smell like smoke. It had not touched them. King Nebuchadnezzar then made a decree. Anyone that was against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's God would be torn limb from limb if they said anything against that. You kind of see the same story going here? And I want to read right here. I want to go It's in the book of Acts. I want to give you another story. And it's talking about Paul and Silas. And they were walking down a road. And this lady, she was, I guess you would say, a fortune teller. She was a slave. And she came in and walked behind them. And she said, "Listen to these men. You know, they teach the word of God, you know." And they kept on for days and days and days on end. And Paul finally got tired of it. And he rebuked the demon spirit that was in this lady. And because of him rebuking her, you know, one, it costed the guy's money that she was enslaved to, because she was bringing in all this money for him. It's kind of like a prostitute, you know, except for she was telling people stuff, you know, like these fortune tellers and stuff. Well, when Paul cast that spirit out, you know, she no longer had that. And one, she was clean from all that. And so it messed with her pockets. It messed with all her money. So what they do, they bound Paul and Silas, beat them, stripped them, and threw them into prison. For what? Doing the work of the Lord? Doing what they should be doing? Following God. And yet we're beat. We're thrown into prison. Kind of sounds like Joseph. Thrown into prison. And he didn't have a clue. He just feared the Lord. That was it. They feared the Lord. They knew what they needed to do. I want to read here. And you've got to get this. Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And this is when they were in prison. And the prisoners was listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening from sleep, and seeing that the prison doors open, supposing that the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. See, because he was in charge. He was in charge to watch over every one of these prisoners. And he knew that it was going to be bad. He knew that if he didn't take his life, that his family was fixing to have to pay for his mistake. So he knew that it was going to be bad. And so he was fixing to take his own life, because every one of them appeared that they had escaped. But Paul called out loud, or with a loud voice, saying, "Do not harm. Do yourself no harm. For we are all here." Then he called for the light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he was brought to them, brought them out, and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into his house, he had set food before them. And he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. And when it was day, the magistrate sent the officers, saying, "Let those men go." So the keeper of the prison reported these words to Paul and Silas: "The magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace." Sometimes you're going through a storm. Most every time. If you look in Scripture, most every time that we go through a storm, It is for someone else's victory. See, this guard, because of where Paul and Silas was and what had happened and what he had seen, him and his whole family give their life to the Lord because of their storm, because of what they were going through. Imagine their thoughts. Well, they was praying and praising God for it. Only in Scripture it talks about praise the Lord for persecutions and when they come. You know, a lot of times we get focused so much on the storm that we forget about the Lord. You know, Paul and Silas was remembering the Lord throughout the whole time in prison. You know, I'm sure they also had that in the back of their mind, you know. Wow, why are we here? All we was doing was the work of the Lord. You know, but yet they didn't allow that to overtake their thoughts and their being. They said, we're going to praise the Lord throughout this storm. And, you know, if you go through and you look at every case of the Bible, every story, Joseph went through his trial, everything he went through, so that he could save everybody, all of his family. He could provide for everybody in need. That was Joseph's storm. That's what he had to go through in order to do that. You look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Look what they had to go through. But yet, it brought glory to the Lord. We could go look at Job. Job lost it all. He lost his kids. He lost everything. And even his wife said, why don't you curse God and die? She turned on him. He had nothing. And yet he praised the Lord. Every single incident that you've seen that these people, their attitude was of praise. Their attitude was on the Lord. Regardless of how bad it looked, they said, and David was one for it, yet I will praise the Lord. All in Psalms, you know, oh, woe is me. But yet he would always finish. And that's why David was a man after God's heart. But the Lord is my strength. The Lord is my shepherd. You know, I don't want to come here today and beat anybody over the head. I want you to understand that we have got to get back to a place where the Lord is our focus. The Lord is our strength. The Lord is our strong tower. You don't see the power in the body of Christ anymore, because when the trials have come, that's all we've ever focused on. I'm going through this. I'm going through that. Maybe God's got you there for a reason. Maybe God's got you there for someone's salvation. Maybe you're going through it for somebody's healing. Who's to say? Who's to say why you have just lost everything? Who's to say why you're in the middle of a bankruptcy? Who's to say why your wife is wanting to divorce you and walk away from everything that you'll have together? Who's to say that's not for somebody else's healing? Who's to say that's not to save somebody? Because everywhere in Scripture we find that that's exactly why people went through it. That's exactly why the Lord did it. Mm-hmm. You know, Penny read out of Psalms 106 today, where the children of Israel, God let them out of Egypt, did these great and wonderful miracles before them. And then it was until he parted the Red Sea and they got across before they even worshiped the God, mm-hmm. the Lord. They didn't believe him all the way up to that point. Mm-hmm. And then what did they do? They fell right back into the old ways and started worshiping idols.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because it had gotten tough.
Yes.
It had gotten hard.
Yes.
The road had got rocky.
Mm-hmm.
The storms had came. Same with the disciples. They flipped out when the boat was rocking back and forth. Jesus, wake up. We're going to perish. They didn't understand that they had the God of the universe in the boat with them. They didn't get that.
Mm-hmm.
But I can understand where they're coming from when I'm going through trials and tribulations. You know, it's a hard thing when you're actually going through the storm. Sometimes we got to have someone remind us, you have the God of the universe on your team, on your side.
Mm-hmm.
He had to show them they had little faith and that they needed to grow. They wasn't complete.
Mm-hmm.
They needed more of Jesus. These men grew up to be mighty men of God. Peter, one of the ones that completely denied him in the middle of a storm,
mm-hmm.
wound up preaching a small sermon and 3,000 gave their lives to the Lord. Just like that. You know, and this thing about with Oswald Chambers, he's talking about basically when your money's funny, when everything's not going as Christian church says it should.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm going to tell you, if I can't stand up here and not tell you this and call myself a minister, when you step into the call of God, when you walk out and you give your life to the Lord, all hell is going to come against you to try and stop it. You're going to have everything under the sun trying to stop that.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have attacks from the enemy. You're going to have people cut you off side the road, hang you the bird for no apparent reason. You're going to have everything under the sun to get you to lose your focus. We can't do that. Last week, I was in prayer at a prayer meeting, and I began to pray for the ministry house, and the Lord sweetly and gently rebuked me. You know, and I think this is one of the most sweetest, gentle rebukes that the Lord has ever just really done. And He simply said, if you seek first My kingdom, all of these other things, it was before I could even get out, before you even speak, all these other things that you're fixing to say, because I know everything, I'll provide. My children have walked away from that. They're not seeking Me first. They're seeking My blessing.
Mm-hmm.
They're not seeking Me. You know, and I wanted to read a scripture here, and this is exactly where the Lord... This is how I knew beyond any shadow of a doubt that this is the Lord saying. It says, so don't worry about these things, saying what will we eat, what will we drink, what will we wear. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. I want to stop there. Did you hear what it just said?
Yes.
That these things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. Then why are believers being dominated by these thoughts? Because we allow it to.
Mm-hmm.
Because we allow the trials, the tribulations, the fire, the everything of this world to determine who we're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
What really determines who we're going to be? The Word of God, right? It says who we are in Christ, who we're going to be, what we're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand, in the middle of the storm, you don't see that. But you can look back at all of these passages that people have went through. And once you start reading and you start applying and saying, well, look what I'm going through. It makes it a whole lot easier to say, wow, I can trust the Lord because He did it for so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. And He is no respect to person. He'll do it for me. If He did it for them, He'll do it for me. The Lord says, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously. And He will give you everything you need. notice he give you everything you need, not everything you want?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. A lot of times when we don't get what we want, my babies, when they don't get what they want, tantrum, tantrum. Mm-hmm. All in the floor, crying, slam their head down on the floor. They've gotten out of where they headbutt the floor. Bam, bam. If you don't give them what they want, the Lord will provide what you need. That's the most important part. How many times have I wound up in the hospital? My mom can tell you. I've got thousands of doctor bills. Being in the hospital. Last time I went to the hospital, we found out we were having the twins. It overwhelmed me. I didn't know how we were going to do it. I didn't know how we were going to make it. I didn't know if we were going to have the money to make it. I thought, you know, this is beyond me. And so my blood pressure went through the roof. My heart rate went out of control. And I started having breakdowns and panic attacks. Wound up in the hospital, blacking out, you know, not knowing what in the world's going on. Sit with a cardiologist all night, monitoring my heart. A whole night, I had to stay in the hospital. He monitored my heart. The next day, you're perfectly fine. We're sending you home. We've monitored you all night long. There is nothing wrong with you. And the Lord sweetly rebuked me there. You took your focus off of me and placed it on your situation. Put your focus back on me. And so, with that, I had a $10,000 doctor bill, and I thought, just because of this now, I thought, Lord, that's an expensive lesson to learn, Father. You know, $10,000 later, and I'm having to, I thank you for teaching me this lesson, but wow. I applied for assistance with it. They wrote off the whole thing. They wrote off every bit of it. And the Lord simply said, lesson learned. I thought, wow. A lot of times we lose our focus in the heat of the battle. You know, Jesus went through the battle too. As Penny sung a while ago. He had to go through it. And even Jesus asked the Lord, if there's any other way,
mm-hmm.
let this cup pass from me. But he said one thing that we all should really say. But not my will be done, but yours be done. See, Jesus knew one thing that nobody else had received at that time. That the Lord knows best. That the Lord had planned. His plans are better than ours will ever be as a human. See, because Jesus was 100% man, but 100% human also. Or 100% man, 100% God.
Mm-hmm.
You know. He knew that the flesh side of it wouldn't do it. Couldn't do it. Couldn't make it through it. But he allowed the Spirit of the Lord to rise up. God sent his angels to comfort him and to strengthen him. And he walked through it victoriously. And because Jesus did that, we can stand here today and say that we have a Savior. See how important the storm is?
Mm-hmm.
It's essential that we go through a storm. It's essential that we make it through the storm.
Mm-hmm.
And how to survive your storm is simple. It is really simple. It is so simple that once you hear it, a child would understand it. It is simply surrender total control to the Lord, fast in His presence, and worship. That's it. That's all you need to battle every storm that you ever will face, is trust and leaning not on your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledging the Lord, and He will direct your paths. That is my life verse. That is the most favorite verse that I've ever read in the Bible, because I can take that verse and apply it to every area and every aspect of my life. When the money's funny, when the kids have gone nuts and the wife has gone nuts, and when everything is just out of control, mm-hmm. Say, okay, Lord, you have me here for a reason. You know, we can get there. It's a place you can get. It's a place you can go. You know, I thought that Ashley was going to have a miscarriage with the twins, and you know, it was devastating. I didn't know what to do. You know, as far as that goes, and I just started crying. I said, Lord, thank you. As crazy as it may sound, I said, Lord, thank you. Thank you for choosing me to have to go through this. I don't know what it's for, but I know your hands is all over it. Thank you, Lord. Your word says to thank you when these things come. Lord, and I thank you for trusting me enough to even allow this to happen. You know, we did have a miscarriage later after the twins. All I could do was say, thank you, Lord. You know what's best. Above all, you know what's best. I don't know why. I don't have that answer. But the Lord knows. He will use it. You know what? He will use it to set people free, to deliver people. There may be somebody struggling with that has struggled with it for a long time. But I'm telling you, the Lord of the universe is on your side. He is willing, with open arms, ready to wrap you up and to take you. You know what? That child is sitting at the right hand of God right now, in the throne room of Jesus. Knows more about the Lord than we will ever know until we get there. Mm-hmm. I comfort and glory in that. I thank the Lord that I have something to look forward to even more. Mostly Jesus, mostly being at the right hand of God, mostly making it into heaven. I told my grandmother once, I said, Nanny, I said, you know, I just want to make it to the feet of Jesus. Mm-hmm. You know, even if I get in by the skin of my teeth, I want to make it at the feet of Jesus, you know. But later on, the Lord showed me, you know, that's a nice and humble way, but I don't want you just to make it by the skin of your teeth. I want you to make it victoriously. I've created you to be victorious. Mm-hmm. You're not to be a victim, you know. And I want to encourage every one of you that when you're going through life's trials, and you may be going through it right now, there may be something in your life that you're really struggling with right now that has really come up, you know, and it may be a hard thing. I don't know where you're at. But I know that if you stay true to the Lord, He will eventually reveal why you've had to go through what you've went through. And not only will He reveal it, you're going to be surprised at who it's going to help along the way. And you're going to really be surprised of how strong you are once it's over. Remember and keep in mind, Joseph, 13 years. 13 years it took him to see God's plan unfold. My grandmother prayed for years and years for her kids to get saved. My aunt was 50 something years old when she gave her life to the Lord. She was diagnosed with cancer, fought cancer for 2 years and died. Her theory and her thing was, as I've served Satan for 50 some odd years, I'm going to give what I have left to the Lord. I was by her bedside when she passed. It was the sweetest death I've ever seen. Ever seen in my life. I love that woman. And I know where she's at. I have so much peace over it, and I had so much peace the day that it was happening. I can't explain it to you. I'm not one to sit and cry at funerals. But when she passed, sitting right there, there was so much peace about it. I knew what I knew. I knew where she was going. It was a storm for most of my family. My dad was absolutely devastated. It tore him apart. And this is usually where most people are hurt the most. But I knew. And to sit back and to watch people hurt like that, my daddy would not go see her. He wouldn't go up during the viewing. He just couldn't handle it. But during the church service, he made it to her coffin side, and when he did, he collapsed. He just fell apart. Landed on top of me and he wept. He didn't get it. He didn't know what I knew. See, that's the peace of the Lord through a storm. That's how the peace of the Lord works through a storm. When you know, beyond any shadow of a doubt, where she was going. I had peace, total peace in it. He didn't have that. What he knew, he didn't get to spend that last 2 years with her like I did. Me and my grandmother did. Because he was still of the world. Still drinking, cranking, doing his thing. You know, he wasn't cranking, you know what I'm saying. But he was still doing his thing. Party life. And from what I know, he still is today. You know? But he didn't get to see that part of her. All he knew was the sister that partied. The one that was the center of attention. She was the life of the party. When she showed up, it started happening. Mm-hmm. You know, anybody that knew her knew that that's just who she was. So he didn't get to see that. And so he was absolutely devastated when it happened. That's how the peace of the Lord works. When you're going through it, and this is the encouragement, when you're going through it, I want you to remember, I want you to look back at every one of these people that I'm reminding you of today. And I want you to think about it. And when it comes and it's like a wind blowing. Rain's coming, hell's coming. And I'm talking about your finances, your husband, your wife, your kids, when they're acting funny. And all else has gone out. And all else is against you. And all odds are against you. I want you to stop. Where's my focus at on the Lord? Am I focused on the Lord? Am I glorifying Him? Because if you're not, it's going to be a whole lot worse. It's going to be a whole lot harder. And we're going to be like the prison guard standing at the gate with Paul and Silas. You wonder where suicidal thoughts come from? In the middle of a storm. Mm-hmm. When your focus is not focused on Jesus. When we lose all focus. It's when Satan has lead way. And it takes something, and it takes a word like this to remind us. The Lord will do it. He'll remind you. But sometimes He gives a stern word to remind us. Focus back on Him. We wonder why America is where it is today. No one focuses on the Lord. Almighty dollar. The love of money is the root of all evil. The Bible's cut and dry with it. It's plain with it. Can't serve both God and money. See it? Mm-hmm. That's just plain and simple. Bless you. So, be encouraged. If you're in a storm, rejoice. Thank God that you're in it. As strange as that sounds, praise the Lord that you're in it. Because you don't know who it's fixing to help. Mm-hmm. And how it's fixing to help. Mm-hmm. And what area in your life is fixing to change. That's how you overcome the storm. Keep these things in mind, and you'll be able to face every storm that comes your way. Is that good?
Amen.
Everybody receive it?
Amen.
All right.
We'll pray.
I want to pray over you guys. Yeah, absolutely. Father, I thank you, Lord God. Thank you for your people, Father. Thank you, Lord God, Father, that, Lord, through our trials, through our tribulations, God, through the things that we had to go through, Lord God, we can always rely on you, always turn to you, Father, and you have our best interests at hand, God. Lord, whether we see it or not, Father, I ask you to refocus our vision, Father, back onto you, back onto your principles, back onto everything and your attributes, Father, that, Lord God, this is for your glory, for your people, and for your kingdom, Lord. Lord, and it's not all about us, Father. And that's such a hard statement to make, Lord, Father, because, Lord, that's all we're taught, Lord. That we got to have it now. It's got to be right away when we want it, Father God. Father, I ask you to slow us down, Father, and give us all patience, Father. Lord, because patience, Father, is one of the fruits of your Spirit, Lord. And we need that, Father, regardless of who wants to pray for it or who thinks that they don't need it, God. I ask you to give it to us, Lord. Lord, give us that opportunity to be patient, Father, as it comes, Lord. And I ask you to remind us, Father, as we're in the middle of the storm, Lord, to put our focus back on you, back on your kingdom purposes, Lord. And Lord, that we would remember where you have brought us from, Lord, like the children of Israel, Lord God. Lord, that you have brought us from hell, Father. You reached down and snatched us from the fiery pit, Lord, and delivered us, God. Bring back to our remembrance, Lord, of the things that you have brought us out of, God. And Lord, I just ask you to bless each and everyone's heart today, God. Lord, as they sow into the ministry, God, as they give their offerings, Lord, that you would bless them, God. Lord, and the ones that can't give, Father, bless them, Father, that they would be able to, Lord. Lord, we know that it's not about money, Father. It's an opportunity to be obedient, Father, to the gifts and the call of what you've placed in us, Lord. The things that you've given us, Father, it's part of our first fruit, Lord. Lord, I ask you to just continue to impart, Father, into each and every one of our lives, Father. Bless us, Father. Minister to our hearts, God. And draw us closer to you, Father, as a body, Father, and as every one of us continue in this walk, Father, that we would be strengthened, encouraging, Father, to one another, and lifting each other up, Father, in the things of you, Lord. And we just give you glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Before we break up, I just want to ask, number one, is there anybody who needs any prayer? If you're going through a storm or if there's somebody else that needs prayer, that's what we're here for. And also, if there's anything you want to share, when I really haven't thought about it quite the way Chad has shared it, but it's true. Can you think of anything in your life where you went through something that was bad and you wish you had not gone through it, but you've had enough distance from it where you've seen it actually benefit somebody else? I know in my life I had a lot of depression, and I mean, it got really bad, and I could not figure out why in the world. I mean, what could possibly good ever come out of that? And plus, when you're depressed and you're suicidal, I mean, all you care about is yourself and your own pain. But looking at this after my last bout of it, which I guess was around 2010, and after CR, you know, now I'm free from it, but because of that, I started a blog, a webpage called Christian Women with Depression, and then from that, I started a Facebook group, because I had no one to talk to. Being a Christian with depression is, you're not allowed to talk about it. You come to church and the pastor will preach against it, that you don't have enough faith, or something like that. No, you know, depression is no different of a sin than any other sin there is with worry or anything else. It's just sometimes it's hormonal, but some most of the time it's really situational. There's just stuff that's happened in your life that you just can't get past. Well, now that group has over, 1,100 people in that group, and every time they come in that group, they go, they're so encouraged because it's a place where they can talk about how they feel, and everyone just understands. No one's trying to fix them, nothing else. But if I had not gone through that, there are 1,100 women right now who wouldn't have a group to go to be able to talk with other women and be encouraged by other women with depression. So I can see what you said there. That was very powerful to me because I'm sure I love all those women, but I wouldn't want to go back and do that over again. It's a horrible thing. But there's consolation. There's something to know that my pain was not wasted. And God promises two things. Number one, as a Christian, that everything that happens to you will, A, if you allow it, turn you more into the image of Jesus and will bring glory to God in some way. No matter what happens, those are the two things. When in Romans it says, all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. The next verse says, because those that God called, He predestined to conform them into the image of Jesus. So everything that happens to you is about making you more like Jesus and pointing people to God. Everything. So try and remember that. But does anybody else have something they went through that they can see on the other side of it helped someone else or benefited someone else? Anybody?
I'm in remission from lung cancer for 2 years.
Wow.
And there's people that's going through cancer that saw that I had a positive attitude.
Mm-hmm.
Enduring that at the time that I think has helped people.
Very good. Very good. Perfect. Perfect example. Anybody else?